Will you turn with us to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians? Brother Wilson last night got down mighty close to what we had in mind, what we have in mind this afternoon. I'm thinking this afternoon about the pastor and his congregation, particularly. There's a great responsibility resting on a pastor. And I wish I could be a good pastor. I'd like to be a good pastor. It's really a calling, and it's one of the gifts mentioned in the gifts of the Spirit. Pastors and teachers, it kind of doubles that. It takes both of those to be one gift, looks like. The third chapter of 1 Corinthians here, Paul has been in Corinth, and he's raised up a congregation there. I've been told that the congregation in Corinth amounted to something like 100,000 people. Quite a congregation. Probably more than all the churches, all the Church of God's in America put together probably wouldn't be as big as this one congregation. And they didn't come with a background of Christianity, but they came from the heathen background. And all they knew about Christ and Christ's way was what they had learned from Paul as a group. And Paul was a father, you might say, of this congregation, and he raised them up, he had preached to them, he had brought them out of heathenism and brought them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and worked with them to make out of them a model congregation of God. We read in this third chapter in the ninth verse, "Ye are God's building." That the last phrase in the ninth verse is, "Ye are God's building." And I'm thinking about the congregation as a building and the Church of God as a whole as a building. The Church of God is not completed yet. It's completed in its form, all the components of it, but these components are going to be enlarging as time goes on, as people are getting saved. Why, there's going to be additions to this building, and we can't see the complete Church of God until after the judgment day, when we're gathered, when he says to that group, "Come ye blessed of my Father," then we will see the great completed Church of God, this great building. But God wants each congregation to be a replica of the Church of God. We want to see it in miniature, what we see in the completed thing when the end of time comes. I believe the silversmith over there was making little shrines of Diana. They looked like the big shrine, only they were tiny. We see advertised in the newspapers about miniature cars of different models. We see airplanes, different types of airplanes that you can make a model or a miniature or a replica of it. And I believe that it's God's plan for every congregation to be a real miniature of the completed Church of God. It ought to have a pastor. It ought to have teachers. It ought to have workers in there. The gifts of the Spirit ought to be manifested in the congregation. Of course, our congregation today is so small that we just don't seem to have enough individuals to have all the manifestations of the gift of the Spirit. But on the whole, we want our congregation to be representative of what the Church of God is. And this congregation that Paul raised up in Corinth, he says in the third chapter, beginning with the first verse, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Now, men walk differently to what the body of Christ walks. "For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" We see that today even, a preference for certain ministers. And some like one minister and some like another. Yet if a minister keeps self out of his ministry and he says what the Spirit of the Lord wants him to be said, we should esteem one minister just as highly as another. We should appreciate them all. And we ought not be favorites as to who we hear preach. We ought to accept any Spirit-filled message. We ought to accept it no matter who it comes from. Because, as he says here, "Who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." So none of us have anything to boast of. The Apostle Paul, he said that himself. All his boasting was of the Lord. And we are in the same condition. We can only, any good thing that we feel like has been accomplished through our ministry or through our work for the Lord, we have no right to take credit for ourselves. We have to give that credit to God. We can be thankful that God has used us as a tool, maybe in working, but we of ourselves, we're nothing. We're less than nothing. But, you know, if we all realize that we're nothing and then we put God in front of us, well, there can be some power in our work for the Lord. Now then, he says, we are laborers together with God. And even as he planted, why, was he the one that planted? I have planted. Yeah, Paul planted and Apollos watered. So then, even as he planted, he recognized that God was working through him. And we want to work in the same way. He that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Or the margin says tillage. Brother Wilson went into that last night and wrote out how that God works in his field. How God even puts the old plow there and then the chisel that goes way down deep and breaks up the hard pan. You're God's farm to be worked. And so, also then, you're God's building. And we want to look at God's building now in this next few verses. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now Paul, here in Corinth, he preached Jesus Christ to these people. That's what he preached. He preached the teachings of Jesus Christ, the sayings of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ. He gave that to all these people there in Corinth. And here, if we're right in figures, 100,000 of these people came in. Surely they had lots to learn. Surely they were coming right out of heathenism, not knowing God, not knowing Moses, not knowing the prophets, not knowing any of the background of the, shall we say, the Church of God of that day. They had everything to learn. All of it. And so, he says, I have laid the foundation. And that's very popular today. Quite often a foundation laid, a concrete foundation. And that's the first thing maybe that goes down. Dig out, get your forms and pour concrete in there and make a floor and abutments and all of that that goes into making up the foundation of a building. And this foundation was what Paul said that he had performed. He had laid this foundation. Now then, for this foundation to wind up as a model church of God, some other minister is going to come along and work there where Paul has been working. He didn't expect to lay the foundation or build a building and go off and leave it, but this building was a continuing thing going on. And so Paul knew that after he was gone, other ministers would work in this same building, building this building, setting it up, putting it in order, putting the windows in it, putting the roof on it, putting the flooring in. All of these things is much to be done out of on this foundation of Christ that Paul had laid. Now then, the pastor that followed Paul was going to be particular the builder, very likely. All Paul said that he had done was to lay the foundation. Now a man's going to build on there. And Paul is wanting this man that follows him, he's wanting him to build a building that's going to be a replica of the church of God. He wants it to be right, everything to be right. And so, as this pastor goes to work, he is going to have to use the material that is made available. The men and women, the boys and girls that accept Christ, he's going to have to work with them. He's going to have to make a building out of what he can get his hands on. He can't build this building out of something over in Jerusalem or something over in Athens or something, but in the local community and the local people of those that accept Christ, he's going to try to change them and form them and fashion them and shape them until anybody can come along and look at this congregation and see the body of Jesus Christ. Now he says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now you see, this building is going to be tested. It's going to be tested by fire. The fire, shall we say, the fire of the judgment. This building is going to have to go through the fire. It's going to be found out. We're going to find out. God is going to find out whether this congregation that this minister, this pastor built up, whether it's a true, whether it's false, whether it's right, whether it's complete, whether it's going to be a real model, or whether it's going to be faulty. And so, as the minister goes to work here, he finds he has six different types mentioned right here, out of which he's going to build. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Now he is going to have to work with the individuals that are willing to be worked with. And here is where something belongs to the congregation. I want you to remember now and think of it. The pastor here is trying to fit me in to a building. And this building is going to contain six different types of material. And I'll be one of these types. Three of these types can be able to stand the fire of the judgment day. Three of these types won't be able to stand the fire of the judgment day. And which type will I be? As a lay member in the congregation, am I going to measure up to be gold or silver or precious stone? Or will I be wood? Or will I be hay? Or will I be stubble? The pastor can't change you, but only God can change you. But you can be gold or silver or precious stones if you want to, if you're willing to, if you're willing to listen to God, if you'll take His Word, if you'll obey His Word, if you live by the teaching of Jesus Christ, you can be a substantial, worthwhile, time-lasting, fire-proof Christian that God wants you to be. On the other hand, if you're careless, if you're indifferent, if you fail, wind up as wood or hay or stubble, then when this replica, when this church, when this model church goes through the fire, how is it going to come out? How is it going to look when it comes out on the other side? Here's a man that was careless. Here's a man that's indifferent. Here's a man that was slothful. Here's a man that was like the thorns, from the thorns and thistles in the field. The cares of this life and some different things kept him from measuring up and being a fireproof Christian. Another man heard the word of the Lord and it sounded good to him, but pretty soon he slid away. He just stumbled. But as they come there and the pastor works with them and fits them into the building, I think what a shock it's going to be that to some pastors after the building, the congregation they've established after it comes through the fire. There'll be whole sides maybe missing. Maybe the roof will be missing. Maybe the front door even will be gone. Maybe there'll be holes in the floor. And we think about this building built up of people and everyone that failed, everyone that went through the fire and was combustible, wood, hay, or stubble, they're not going to be in that building in eternity. When this small building is to be fitted into the great final church of God that's going to be with God in eternity, there'll be a lot of vacancies in the little individual buildings that are presented there, out of which God will form the complete building. And I think about how wood and hay and stubble, in the natural sense, you can never make out of stubble. You can never make precious stones out of stubble. Man can't take hay and make good, substantial, fireproof materials out of that. Neither can he take wood. Wood, you take wood and it'll burn when you put it in a hot fire. So will hay and so will stubble. But you know, the more the fire touches the gold, what happens? The brighter it gets, doesn't it? The more the fire touches the silver, the brighter it shines. And God is going to refine try the sons of Levi. He's going to put them in the furnace and He's going to boil and bake and fire that thing and the dross will come to the top and be skimmed out, and after a while, the master will be able to see his face down there in that bowl of liquid silver. Precious stones, they'll come through the fire too, most of them. Now, look at this building in its integrity, in its preciousness, in its fireproofness. We can find our place. We can just look at our experience and we can see now in the congregation right here now. We can just, you that are local here, you can think, well now, what is my status in this building? When the judgment shows up, will I still be in there safely? Will I still be a part of this building? Or will I be consumed in the fire that's going to try us when life is over? As the parable of the sower, there was several different kinds of ground. There was a hard ground, there was a stony ground, there was a thorny ground, and there was a good ground, and the same seed was sown in each type of ground, but the fruit, the results, was different according to every type of ground. even in the good ground. Some of it brought forth 30-fold. Some of it brought forth 60-fold. Some of it brought forth 100-fold. But in the stony ground, there was no good results. In the thorny ground, there was no good results. In the ground by the wayside, packed down where the men's feet had trod over it, there was no results there. But thank God, in the good ground, there was some good results. And so, I think of these different materials, building materials, in the same sense as think of the different kinds of soil that which the Word of God is sowed in. And we can find our picture, every one of us. We can see. We can recognize. And I don't want to be wood or hay or stubble. I don't want the things to fail. I don't want my life to be a failure. I don't want to profess to be a part of the family of God, a part of the church of God, a part of the building of God. He says, ye are God's building. I don't want to be a professor in that building and not be able to stand the shock. I want to be real. I want to be honest. I want to be sincere. I want to be faithful. I'd like to be gold. I don't think I'll be gold, but I would like to at least be silver, a precious stone, something worthwhile, something useful, something that'll stand the judgment shock. Now, we're faced with the individual responsibilities. We've got to, the pastor and the worker, to cooperate together. Yes. The pastor, as I said a while ago, naturally, these wood and hay and stubble cannot be changed into gold and silver and precious stones. But thank God, in the real thing of what we've been reading, a little parable here, in the real thing, if we want to, God can take stubble, and God can change it into precious stone. God can take hay and make something worthwhile out of it. You know, even in the factories, they down there in Louisiana, where they grind the sugar cane and the bagasse, they call it, that's left there, the flattened cane with all the juice mashed out of it. They can take that and they can grind it up and put fillers in it and cements and things in it, and they can make a fireproof wall out of it, or semi-fireproof anyway. Man can do that, but the great God of heaven, when He gets a hold of a heart of a man and changes him and turns him from one to another, that can be done in this building of God. And if a man finds himself in the building of God and finds he's not measuring up to the standard, if he finds he's not fireproof material, he and the pastor together ought to get together and work this out and let God come on the scene. And let God do some more creating. You know, the Lord created 6 days and then quit, seemed like. I believe that's the way it described it over there. But I believe that when a man humbles his heart before God, when he bows at an altar of prayer and asks God to give him a new heart, I believe God goes back into the creating business. I believe He creates, He takes that old vile sinner, that old corrupted and sin-stained soul, and He creates a beautiful child of God, an image of God, a son of God, just as pure and clean, all of the impurities taken away, all the sins forgiven, all the evil gotten out of the way. His slate in heaven is clean. It says, for therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yes, or, as that word really means, he is a new creation. Yes. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all these things are of God. And so, a pastor, working with the congregation, if they spot somebody that they've been working with and comes to the realization that they are wood or hay or stubble, they need to be able to get a hold of God and in some way get to work with that one and help them to see their condition, to understand what they're in, and bring them up and let God create out of this worthless, useless creation, make something worthwhile out of it. You know, every saint that's going to be in heaven. Every saint in heaven one time was a sinner.
Yeah, that's right.
Every one of them. There's not a single one of them that started off a saint. It started off as saints. But down there, as we read in, as we sing in a song, from depths that were sinful, he sought her. And what does the rest of that song go? From depths that were sinful, and filled her with infinite love. And so, as the pastor and the congregation work together, when the one being worked upon, the one being realizes that they are in a poor condition, I'm glad that God is still working today to save souls. Still wanting to turn that which is worthless and refuse, that which is useless in building, make something worthwhile out of it. We have to humble our hearts to be able to have that kind of an experience.
Yes.
And it's hard. It's hard for me maybe to humble my heart like I need to sometimes. It may be hard for you, but that's a thing that brings the creative working of God into the heart of man, is when man humbles his heart before God and accepts God's way.
Praise the Lord.
And so, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Now then, let's go read on down. Now that's in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I think when Adam and Eve faced God there, they stood face to face, back there in the Garden of Eden. This represents Adam and this represents God. And then Adam turned his back on God. And what did God do? He turned his back on Adam then, you see, and put him out of the garden. And then, as time went on, and Jesus Christ came into the world. And God was in Jesus Christ. I think when Jesus Christ died on the cross, according to this verse here, there must have been something of God in him too. And so God again turned to man. Man still had his back to God when God turned. But now then, the ministry of reconciliation is, now God has reconciled to man. Let us turn and face God and be reconciled to God.
Praise the Lord.
And we can go through these stages, thank the Lord, but we can be reconciled to God. And then this man, after he's reconciled to God, God makes him an ambassador, a worker. And it's his place to go out and persuade other men to be reconciled to God. And this work of reconciliation is what turns us from wood or hay or stubble into gold or silver or precious stones. And then when the pastor works with us after we've been recreated, been reborn again, really have received a thing that we should have had all the time, then we can be fitted into God's building and be a useful and profitable. And then when this building passes through the fire, wouldn't it be nice if there was not a missing part in it? But that it just came through the building complete, and not a thing left out, not a thing missing, but every one with whom the pastor had labored was qualified and stood the test. Everyone that offered themselves to be a part of this building of God stood the test and came through the fire perfect and whole and sound and useful, and made this building of God to be a real model representation of that great completed building of God that we shall all be in eternity.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for the building.
Yes.
I thank the Lord for the builders. I thank the Lord for those that are working. We don't have enough pastors and teachers. We don't have enough workers to bring men and women to an understanding that God wants them in His building. And so I'm praying that God will give us more pastors, more teachers, more of those who are living close to God and can bring forth and convince the wood or a hay or stubble that needs to be changed, or they can fit the gold and silver and the precious stones into their proper place in the building of God. Amen.